Hello, everybody. I'm excited. Happy birthday, PS4. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, 10 years ago this week, PlayStation 4 launched in Europe. No one gives a shit about the Japanese or the American launch. No disrespect to any of you American or Japanese listening. It's all about Europe, baby, and we are 10 years old. Alex, 10 years, 2013, November. We fast forward, 117 million units sold worldwide.
That's the Switch. Yep.
10 plus games attach rate. Well, here's what I was thinking, right? I think the PS4 suffered massively because of the pandemic, because of, you know, the component issue. You know, that components. Yeah. So if you think about it,
stretch.
Sony, if, okay, I want you to imagine a scenario where there is no component issue, right? Okay. Everything is absolutely normal. PlayStation 5 and is in supply as much as Sony want it to be. PlayStation 4s can still be manufactured as much as they can. No lockdown. People can still go into stores. You know for a fact Sony would have looked at that and thought, just like they did with 1, just like they did with 2, just like they did with 3. Even PS4 had that new Super Slim come out as well, right about a year before lockdown. They would have... No, I'm thinking PS3 Super Slim. PS4 just had
Yeah,
a
I was
slim,
thinking
right?
That, yeah.
I was thinking to myself then. I was like, well, I just fucked up. They would have just dropped the price and just kept manufacturing going, because PS4 is still moving, but they completely killed all manufacturing on PlayStation 4 to make sure that they had enough PlayStation 5s to meet demand. And I just think if that wasn't there, I'm not saying it would have beat anything. I say 117. I think it would have been at 120. It would have sold an extra 3 million units in the last 3 years if it was readily available, cheaper price, crazy bundles. We look at the monthly active users, and it's the markets like South America and certain Asian markets and Eastern Europe where the previous generations keep selling, you know, because of the price point. And yeah, anyway, on a tangent,
no,
there,
you're right,
117.
No, you're right, because I mean, look at the market now. I mean, like the games we just talked about in the last rumor mill. Definitely check it out if you haven't checked it out already. You know, with Call of Duty looking like it's going to be supported on the PS4 for the next couple of years, it just shows that it could still,
dude,
with the excessive loads of times, it will still be able to, you know, run modern games.
Man. I mean, we spoke about it, like the only thing about PlayStation 4 is its production was halted abruptly because of the lack of components for everywhere, you know. Nintendo, Sony, I mean, Microsoft were probably happy as hell to kill the Xbox One and just focus straight onto the series consoles, whereas Sony have always had a history of selling a few extra, like 5, 6, 7 million units once the new machine is out, because they reduce the price and they bundle the hell out of it up, you know. And can you imagine if there wasn't any component issue, how many PlayStation 4 God of War Ragnarok bundles there would have been, Horizon Forbidden West bundles there would have been, you know, these sort of things. FIFA, well, I keep saying FIFA, EA Sports, Modern Warfare, all these bundles, Sony just would have flooded the market with them and just kept moving PS4s for like, what, $199 maybe or something like that. But anyway, it only would have sold an extra like 3 million or 4 million and kept it at 120. But 117 million units, which makes it the second highest selling home console of all time, fourth overall if you count handhelds as well. 10 plus games attach rate. That's a handheld, bro. 10 plus games attach rate per player.
Hybrid.
So of 117 million units sold, its average is a 10 plus games attach rate per player. It's the most successful console for PlayStation of all time in terms of revenue. That's going to get fast eclipsed by PlayStation 5, but at the moment that's what it holds a candle for. Yeah, it was a great system, you know. And it was so funny because we went out for some food, me and some of the lads, and my brother asked a question. We were talking about Fight Night, and somebody brought up Knockout Kings on the PlayStation 2, right, which obviously evolved into Fight Night. And then the question came up, oh, what's the best PlayStation console of all time? And it got me thinking there, and I was just like, oh man, I'm not sure, you know. Obviously, nostalgia takes me to PS1 or PS2, but then when we did this list that we're going to go through, PS4 for me, hands down, the quality of games that came out during the PS4's lifetime. Dude, how was this console pulling out The Last of Us 2, Ghost of Tsushima, specifically Ghost of Tsushima, devs, all these killer games at the end on Jaguar engines. Like the X86 Jaguar, mate, was running the PlayStation. It never just shows that, GPU, like,
this is exactly what a lot of people forget, that when you give any technology enough time for the developers to actually start to utilize it properly, you know, and like wash out whatever previous methods that they used before, which will very, you know, bloated, you can start putting out some amazing, you know, visuals or performances from like outdated tech. And obviously we've seen that in you know, in lump sums with Nintendo. You know, they're always using out-of-date tech, and yet they're still managing to run games like Doom Eternal. You know, you got, well, I guess controls a bit cloud-based, but they can still do it, provided that they've made the right optimizations. And like with the Ghost of Tsushima, Ghost of Last of Us, you know what I mean? It's just like they're smashing it, even with Spider-Man, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, and Spider-Man Miles Morales, I mean, it was so good. It was released on both gens, you know? So it just shows you that it's a testament to the engineers at Sony and other developers as well. And it just shows you, if you give enough time to an engine, you can do some amazing things. So, yeah. I'm definitely impressed.
Before we move on to the... before we move on to the list of our like top PlayStation games, do you have any specific PS4 memories that you have over those 10 years? Like, for me, my favorite memory is, you've just got to go all the way back to day one of 10 years, and that was the launch. If you remember it, obviously I was working in the industry at the time. I was working for Ubisoft, and we partnered. Well, I say that the launch event I was hosting far eclipsed what PlayStation had in mind for their event. So they asked if they could join. So, you know, when PlayStation released their own console and they ask Ubisoft, can we join your launch event to make it even better? We're like, yeah, cool, man. Cool. So in Birmingham, we launched a PlayStation 4 there. You know, your younger brother was DJing at the event to create that atmosphere. But yeah,
shout out to Matthew.
If you're a Patreon, I'm going to put some pictures up of that launch just to show you, so you can actually see. But Alex, do you remember the queues for PlayStation 4 launch? That was ridiculous, man. I mean, but what a night. It was just so cool.
Yeah, it was an amazing night. Yeah, the fans definitely showed up. The queues was horrendous, and I just love the fact that we didn't have to wait in any of it. We just skipped right to the front. But yeah, it was nice. It was a really good event, and the music was on point as well.
There you go. And again, if you're on Patreon, I've posted some pictures for you to have a look, or I will be posting some pictures for you to have a look. Depends which one I upload first. Yeah, it was a great memory, and it just sold record numbers. As I mentioned in the latest PS5 episode, it broke the record for the UK launch for any hardware. That held the record until PlayStation 5 absolutely destroyed it. But Al, I mean, is there any other PS4 memory that pops into mind for you?
Memories? Yeah, whooping your ass countlessly on Tekken would actually just be, you know, obviously, it is what it is.
Smoking dope.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, you just gotta like just face the music and just realize that, yeah, you did get your ass whooped numerous times, to the point where, I mean, there was numerous scores erased and videos completely wiped off the face of the planet.
The listeners know. Don't you worry about that.
They do.
But do you remember
Tekken 8?
Another memory that pops into mind for me is when you and your brother came over and you played Batman VR on the PS4. You remember PSVR was with the PlayStation 4.
Exactly. You know, and like that was an awesome, awesome experience as well. I mean, that was like the first true VR I've actually used. And it was great. Really good, you know. And I still remember sweating around my eyes and everything like that because that whole unit.
But I told you guys, you had to play it the way I played it, which is you have to do it all in one sitting, and you both did it. And I turned the TV screen off so you couldn't see what was happening when your brother played and things like that. But so bloody good, man.
Yeah, there's too many games. There's too many nights. I mean, I think it's just an amazing console, and for the past 10 years, it's kind of shown. I guess we've reached the peak in terms of what developers were able to do in terms of, you know, their creativity, what they imagined. You know, we saw a lot of that being realized with the PlayStation 4, you know, with the likes of the big games that we're going to go into mention, you know, because it's like they have set the foundation, which I'm sure would be the foundation from this point onwards, really. And as we've seen that, obviously, with the how long this generation has been bleeding over, as you said. But yeah, there's too many memories. And I guess when we start going through the games, we'll evoke some more.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to list our top five PlayStation 4 games. So these are just PlayStation 4. So it can't be a game that we played on PlayStation 5 that came to PlayStation 4. It has to have come out during the PlayStation 4 generation and it was played on PlayStation 4. And it's just our personal preference. So our top five PlayStation 4 games. So do you have any shout outs before you go into your number five, or are you going straight to number five?
I can't even just do the five. I mean, like you said earlier, five is difficult, man. I mean, there's a lot of
I actually had a brain aneurysm thinking. I thought, right, let me go through my trophy list, which brought back some crazy nostalgia because I was like, oh, I remember playing this. And it was so cool. But I wrote down the best of the best, and then I just had to keep narrowing it down by three until I got to five, and it was really hard. So I've got a top 10, but I'm not going to give any detail on the first five. I'm only going to focus on the top five. But shout outs to the games that didn't make the top 10, which was Horizon Zero Dawn. Yes, I did not put that in my top 10. Or Until Dawn and Arkham Knight. Three games. Great, great games. Horizon Zero Dawn, Until Dawn, and Arkham Knight, Batman Arkham Knight. Those three were great. And they're like 11, 12, and 13 in my list, but they don't make the top 10, which means if those three are not making the top 10, what the fuck went in that top 10? Well, 10 to 5, which again, they don't count. I'm just going to list them. So yeah, Days Gone at number 10. Everybody's favorite, Jurassic World Evolution at number 9. You got to have one management game in there, ladies and gentlemen. At number 8, you'll know this one, Detroit Become Human. At number 7, Resident Evil 7 VR. So specifically the VR mode. And at number 6, Batman VR. So they were great, great games for it. But okay, Al, so we'll move into top 5. What have you got for number 5?
To be honest, I haven't actually put these in any order. So I'm just going to just throw them out there. These are 5 of my top games.
Okay, okay.
All right. Okay, so yeah, as you just mentioned there, Batman VR. I mean, I could say that to later on, but yeah, I just need to talk about that game. That game was freaking awesome. In terms of like a first VR experience, this was the first time that I've actually thought, you know, after you know, that Ready Player One type of mechanic, you know, where you can actually feel that you're in that world. Yeah. That was the closest thing to me. You know, you were Bruce Wayne, you were Batman, you were the Caped Crusader, you were Batman. You know, even when he was a kid all the way to his, you know, when he's older, and the way the story actually integrated as well with the Arkham series, I thought was on point. The way that you interact with his weapons, the way they utilize the gyro and the controls, you know, it was just a great VR experience. And I don't think it kind of spoiled me, really, because there hasn't really been anything of an IP such as Batman, which has utilized VR in that particular way. And I think, yeah, I mean, there's lots of talks of what, I mean, there was an Iron Man version as well, wasn't there? Yeah. But I think if they do rework that and they do take a lot more pages, like, not just take the whole book and just copy what Warner Brothers was able to do with Batman VR, then they'll be onto a winner. But yeah, that would be my top five, my number five.
Okay, my number five is Ghost of Tsushima. What a flipping game. Just what a game. You know, it's everything I wanted. I always want, it's the best, it's the Assassin's Creed game everybody wanted, which was samurai based, right? I mean, you've got a Sony first party game. So A, it already technically looks stunning. But what made this game unbelievable was it was an open world game with samurais next to no load time on PlayStation 4. That is by far, I mean, Ghost of Tsushima's load times is the biggest technical marvel in that entire generation for me. Just the fact that there was barely any, it has the greatest title screen any video game ever is that one. But it was just the fact that you are a samurai conflicted with the heritage of being a samurai and fighting like a samurai, or fighting in a way to win a war against the Mongolian invasion. And The visuals were stunning. The combat is some of the best I've still played to this day. And the narrative, oh man, this is why I keep saying, Alex, that Ghost of Tsushima is your dream game. But you haven't even played it yet, so you need to hurry up and get on it, because it's so flipping
I haven't completed it, but I have actually played the first level, and yeah, it does look like it's set to be an amazing experience.
It's so good, man. It is so good. So for number five for me is Ghost of Tsushima. All right, moving on.
Okay. Moving on, we're going to jump to a game that we have repeated so many times on the show, that being Tekken 7.
I didn't even mention Tekken 7 in my...
I know you didn't. See, I whooped your ass so bad.
No, mate, you know what? It's Tekken Dark Resurrections. Tekken Dark Resurrection set such a high bar that no Tekken has come close to it yet.
It did. All right. Well, I got 40 seconds to say that. Yeah, Tekken 7 is... I mean, it was like when Bandai Namco got used to using the Unreal Engine. And yeah, the mechanics were slightly off. But they had the graphical prowess of the PlayStation 4. And it just turned into an amazing experience. The graphics were there. The fluidity of the combat, you know, was improved from Tekken 6. And, you know, after playing Tekken 8, they've just obviously improved and made everything a lot more smoother. We've got new mechanics coming soon. So for that alone, I mean, the amount of ass whoopings that I've given, obviously I've taken a couple of myself, but only a few. But yeah, it definitely has to put Tekken 7 into the top five, without a doubt. And I know you had a test to it as well. I know you missed it out because of, you know, PTSD.
Tekken 7 was a good... It was a great game. Like I said, there was just so much greatness. Greatness awaits. That's what the PlayStation 4 slogan was, remember? And they definitely didn't lie, but they lied at the first few years.
No, I thought it was play only for the players. I thought that was the PlayStation.
Yeah, and it was like greatness awaits
For the players
was the launch, and then Greatness Awaits came out, and then there was the amount of greats on there, and that great. And I forgot this was even a PlayStation 4 at number four. Apropos, Uncharted 4. The fact that Uncharted 4 was on PlayStation 4 and I completely forgot about it until I went to my trophy list tells you how crazy it is. But yes, Uncharted 4 was my fourth favorite PS4 game. And again, if that is fourth, what the hell was 1, 2, and 3, right? But just what a game, you know, the absolute pinnacle of the Nathan Drake trilogy on PlayStation 3. So to get Naughty Dog just releasing the perfect Indiana Jones game on PlayStation 4 was unbelievable. The game had the beautiful visuals. It was a nostalgic trip for anyone who's played the Uncharted games as well. And it was just an absolute masterpiece. You know, people talk about Insomniac today and the set pieces that you play through. They are amazing, but Naughty Dog was doing this shit on PS3 with the Uncharted franchise, you know. So Uncharted 4, highly recommend it. If you haven't played it, it is available in the Thieves Legacy Collection, which is on PlayStation Plus. So if you have extra or premium, you can play it. But yeah, that is my fourth. So we're into the top three, mate.
The top three. Okay, so for me, for top three, PS4. Yeah, what I'm gonna say. I've got to throw Spider-Man in there. Obviously, I mean, why wouldn't we speak about Spider-Man? You know, it was all right. The best Spider-Man 2 I'd ever played before this Spider-Man was, I think, Spider-Man 2, and that was done by Activision.
Back in the PlayStation 2.
And like that was released after the Spider-Man film with Tobey Maguire back in the early 2000s. And I think that was the first time they actually created a game which you could actually feel like you were swinging through the city. And then they had like a kind of anime version game afterwards. But ever since then, it's just been the same thing over and over again. And nothing's really changed or evolved. But until Insomniac got their hands on it, and my God, did they do well with this franchise. I mean, they just took it, split it apart, took all the best aspects of what people want in a game, and they were able to compile it into an amazing gaming experience firsthand. Secondly, the graphics and visuals were on point. And then thirdly, knowing that it's actually a comic book, and it's obviously been based on games, films, and obviously the various different iterations of Spider-Man, they worked on a storyline, and they had a voice cast as well, which supported the story that they worked on. And then they made one of the most engaging interactions with this IP that we've known for many years, which even Hollywood can't even contest with, you know. And that's the beautiful thing about games, that they can dip into all genres, you know, all of them, you know, and you've got plenty of time to just soak with the characters, explore them, and then just have a lot of fun with them and just see how far they can go. And Insomniac has proven it, man. So yeah, that's why the Spider-Man 2018 edition is definitely definitely without a doubt in the top five.
Nice. My number three is The Last of Us 2. Yes, it didn't finish first or second for me. So the fact that The Last of Us 2 is number three tells you that the two games above it must be special. But I mean, what do you say about The Last of Us? It's got a Vita in it. End of. That's all I got to say. But what a game. It's, you can count on single digits in the history of gaming where games, where everything is flawless and it all just gels and every aspect of the game works. And The Last of Us 2 is one of those games. Just what a game. I don't even know what to say about it, mate. What a game. If you haven't played The Last of Us 2,
just awesome.
Remastered is out in January, ladies and gentlemen. I can't wait.
Awesome, mate. You know, after playing the first one, like, oh my days, it's like I needed more. And like, I couldn't have obviously played it at a better time because I went straight on to the second one. And yeah, they're just, they, in terms of like narrative story, which is what obviously what Sony and PlayStation's all about, this is top tier. You know, it's top tier. It has you coming back. I mean, it's so good that, yeah, you're playing it, you're amazed. But anybody watching you is also amazed and they also want to see what's happening. And this is a unique experience that you don't get anywhere else. So, yeah, man. And now it's on TV. Oh.
Yeah, well, The Last of Us 2 story specifically is coming. But the game, you know what it is? It was just brutally beautiful. Like, the violence made sense in that game and in that world. And the narrative was strong. The total character switches, everything about it, the beat, everything was just on point. Perfect game, man. Perfect game.
Yeah.
All right. Number two, mate. What is your number two?
Okay. Number two. All right, then. So, yeah, one which has been thrown out there earlier on in your chart, which was actually one of my favorite games on the system by Quantic
Dream. Detroit. I knew it.
Detroit. Say what? Yeah, the same city that Eminem is from. Detroit, Michigan, set in 20, wherever
it was. Just let me just put this in there. I don't know if you've seen it, but somebody recreated the 8 Mile rap battle in Fortnite because Eminem's in Fortnite and they got the Captain America model guy in and he's battling it and they put the sound in and everything. It's so cool. You need to watch it. But anyway, back to Detroit.
Back to Detroit. Definitely check that one out. But Detroit, yeah, amazing. Again, like we're talking about narratives, we're talking about gameplay. The visuals on this game was absolutely awesome. And I think it's an experience that I don't think I've ever had before where you actually get to play an android, you know, in a real world scenario. And the questions that this game posed are things that we're going to have to contend with today and for the future. And Quantic Dreams, I mean, obviously they did Heavy Rain previously, and I can't remember the previous one before that. Was it Fahrenheit? But yeah, the choice-based games, the fact that they incorporated that, the decision-based with the action as well, as well as just keeping it like it was like a Hollywood movie, yet still being so topical, as well as making us question what does life actually mean. I mean, these are some experiences that you can't really get anywhere else. And again, the voice actors were perfect. The visuals were on point. But the fact is that one of the weirdest things in this game was the CEO of the droid company in this game. Ladies and gentlemen, go check it out. Find out who the CEO of, I can't remember exactly what, I think it was Cyberdyne, I can't remember the actual name, in Detroit, but does he not look like a dead ringer for Sam Altman, the head of OpenAI? He is a more buffed version of him, man. It's so weird. And I think Quantic Dream just had, you know what I mean? Obviously, they had the foresight. They knew exactly what was going on. But anyway, an amazing game. Definitely recommend it. And that's why it is in my top five. Oh, sure.
Well, a couple of things. It was Beyond Two Souls when you were talking about Quantic Dream games. So it was Beyond Two Souls, Heavy Rain, and then Fahrenheit.
If
I'm correct, it wasn't Cyberdyne. I think that was Terminator. I think you're thinking Cyberlife. Yeah,
Cyberlife.
Okay, yeah. My number two, mate. What could possibly sit above The Last of Us 2? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's just the most immersive open world game of all time. Red Dead Redemption 2. Oh, what a game. Yeah. If there was a game that needed a remaster so I could play it again, this is the one. Red Dead Redemption 2. I said it for years and I've always said it. It is the most immersive, alive, open world game ever made. And the only thing that comes close to it is like Horizon Forbidden West. In terms of just a world being alive, you know, Spider-Man 2 does really well as well, but
does very well.
Red Dead Redemption's narrative was so powerful and strong. I would finish playing the game, go to sleep, and go through the day thinking about the game and what I'm going to do next, you know, and playing as your character in the game and just being able to, like there was a glitch at the beginning of the game where you could spawn loads of gold bars to get loads of money and be rich in the game. So I could just dress up and do my beard and do customize as much as I wanted in that game, make my horse look sick and all that stuff. And dude, the game was so good. It was just so immersive. A game, it's one of the few games that has just pulled me in and immersed me into a game so much that wasn't just down to the narrative, if you know what I mean. And the game is perfect. We just spoke about in the PlayStation quiz, one of the question you gave me about the Metacritic, you can see why it's joint at the top. And we always get shocked at it, Alex, every quarter when we do the financial results and we see that Red Dead is just constantly selling 50, 55, 58 million copies for this one game, you know, makes it great. So Red Dead Redemption is my number two. Number uno, mate, what is your greatest PS4 game of all time?
Numero PlayStation 4. Uno. Now, you know, I'm just going to take a left to give the alternative flavor. Yeah, I could have said one of the greats, like God of War. I could have said, you know, Last of Us, Horizon even. These are all amazing games, which obviously we've mentioned, Red Dead Redemption. But the greatest game, if not, and or experience that I've had on the PlayStation 4.
You already knew.
I've got to say, Super Hot is.
Oh, I knew you were going VR, mate.
I got to put it up there, man. It's just like, it had to be. That game is amazing. It's just simply amazing. You know, it didn't have all the bells and whistles of all the other games that you've gone to know and love, you know, in the PlayStation family. But Super Hot has just got something unique, you know. It was obviously taking massive elements from the Matrix using bullet time, but only with its simple two-tone aesthetic, you know, and also utilizing the motion, the way you move was innovatively done. You know, I don't think any game has really captured that type of uniqueness, and I can't even remember exactly which company created it, but yes, this is exactly when creativity and technology is just on point, and they had it right with Super Hot. So next to Batman VR, it has to be Super Hot, you know. And until I see more games like this, man, it's like you can't beat it. You can't beat it, and they've done it simply. You know what I mean? They had the whole Nintendo aesthetic. You know what I mean? Which is just make something amazing with something so simple. You know, and I think that at the core element of most games, yeah, you can have all the bells and whistles, but if you can't have that gotcha moment that will just keep you playing endlessly, regardless of how sweaty you are or what time of the day it was or how drunk you are, you know what I mean? You haven't got a great game, and that game ticks all those boxes for me. So Super Hot or Super Hot is my number one.
Back up Alex's claims, because he was playing it at my house and I've never seen him so engrossed in a video game in my life.
I was Neo.
I was just about to say, thinking he's so Neo, sick. Bending forward, man. Bending backwards. I'm like, bro, you're gonna hurt yourself.
If you want to lose weight, man, I mean, that is definitely one of the games. You know, it'll definitely
keep
you.
It didn't help that every time you played it, you were fueled by Jack or Haig, right?
Yeah, Jack.
You had Jack Daniels or Haig in your system as you were playing the game, right? So that adds to it, but. I can register, and that's what people are probably thinking, that can't be number one, blah, blah, blah. But it's all about what you like. What video game did you enjoy? You know, that's why you've had a variety of VR in our lists and different types of games. And yeah, I can remember just how happy you were and how much you were laughing playing Super Hot. So that explains why. And my number one, of course, I'm going to say it, ladies and gentlemen, I'm only joking. God of War 2018. Obviously, it's my greatest game of all time. I absolutely love it. Everything. The one take on PlayStation 4, unbelievable. The sound, the narrative, the combat, the visual. There's not one aspect of the game that you can say around where I say, yeah, that's an 8 out of 10. It's all 10 out of 10. The side missions were unbelievable. You don't even find them unless you stumble on them. Like the whole dragon sequence, you can just completely miss it and not get any of it, right? It's so good. And as again, it's weird, it's a video game, it's set in like super fantasy and stuff like that, but as a father and with a son and you play that game, you kind of relate to it a little bit in terms of the relationship that he's trying not to be angry with his son and stuff like that. And holy shit, what a game. You know, what a flipping game. God of War.
It's a great angle. Definitely a great angle. I've played that as well. And yeah, I can definitely attest to everything that you're saying about that game. Awesome experience. And it's like, it seems like that's now the narrative that people want to go down now, isn't it? Like that whole...
That's why Wolverine needs to be like that, man. It needs to be like God of War. But I tell you what, like, everyone says, yeah, Ragnarok's better, Ragnarok's better. And as a video game, Ragnarok plays better. But for me personally, 2018 was just fresh. It was the first one. It was unexpected to be played that way, you know? And
yeah, definitely.
The PlayStation 4 on... God of War's running on x86 Jaguars, man. Holy motherfucking shit. But like the PlayStation 4, and if you've seen the film Armageddon with Bruce Willis and that, it is literally what the PlayStation 4 sounded like leaving on a jet plane as I was playing God of War, because it sounded like a jet plane as I played God of War. I had to play with a headset because all I could hear was the PlayStation 4. And I didn't have to turn the heating on. The PlayStation 4 heated the living room for me. I was sweating playing that game because it was so hot, but I had to play it. It was so good. What a game. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Our top games. God of War for me as my favorite PlayStation 4 game, and Super Hot VR for Alex as his greatest PlayStation 4 game. Thank you very much for listening. And we're so happy that PlayStation 4 has turned 10. We were there for day one on the launch. You know, day zero. Actually, we've been there for day one on every PlayStation, right?
Yeah, baby.
Oh, geez. But the PlayStation 4, what a console. Happy birthday. Piss off now. We're in a PS5 world.
You know, I was going to say something else afterward, but that's just perfect, man. That is just...